When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Segment or a show with that?
I don't know. There's something I want to talk about. I've had this very sort of profound realization this week.
Oh,
and it involved public nudity. Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. No, it's not about public nudity, but it was caused by public nudity. Yeah.
Well, how public?
Okay, so here's what's interesting, right? So, some friends of ours set me up, and they sent Heidi and I to this place called, I'm not even going to tell anybody in case she ever goes back, but it was a
nudie
spa
beach
in Koreatown. No.
Oh, okay.
It was a spa in Koreatown, and my friends were like, oh my God, get this treatment called the goddess, and they scrub you, and layers of your skin come off, and all this stuff. It's amazing, right? Well, I show up. And I always, like, in my spa treatments, I always wear, like, little underwear. And if I have a massage, I always have my underwear on. And I just always have my underwear on. Always. At least my underwear. So we go in. And hold on. And it's, like, it's all these lockers, right? And then there's, like, a laying area. And then there's, like, a bath trough. And then there's, like, I'm not kidding. And then it's an Asian place, so like this is very kind of like I remember when I went to Japan and we walked into a sento, which is like a Japanese bath, same kind of thing.
Okay.
There's a lot of like tradition around this stuff though.
Right.
So there's a bath trough where women sit at this trough on these plastic stools and scrub the crap out of each other. I swear to God, there's literally a mugwort tea bath where women like a ton of naked women just soaking like a soup. I'm not kidding. A steam room, a sauna, a shower, a public shower, like a boys' locker room. And then there are all these tables, okay, that are plastic coated or vinyl or I don't know what it is. And they're in a Burberry design, right?
Okay.
And they're all lined up and there's all these women laid on these slabs, butt naked, just getting their skin slapped off. Yeah. And then there's these Asian women that are in the Korean women in black panties, black lace panties and bras.
Get out of here!
No on my
Jillian,
life. I swear to God. Can we get hot? Let me call Heidi. Yeah. No, I swear to God.
Not
On my life.
Wait, on my life. Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Was there any men on the slabs or
No, just all women? It's all women. Hang on.
And the and the women were wearing black panties.
Black panties and bras. Yeah. So I'm going to try to get Heidi. Yeah. Meanwhile, right, I'm un-frickin'-raveling. Because I'm, you know, me. Not to sound like an idiot, but the last thing I need is for someone to be like, oh, my God, that's Jillian Michaels. Look at her ass. There is cellulite on her ass. Like, it was...
I'm more concerned why the Korean women were in black
panties. I don't know, but they all are.
Oh, what are they wearing
Why
on their
does this
feet?
Woman never answer the phone? This woman has my kids and never answers the phone. It drives me bananas.
Oh, she answers it.
Never.
She answers
She never
the
answers
time.
The phone. Oh, my God. All right, so hang on. Now I got to leave a message for... I'll text her and tell her to call me ASAP. So, anyway, to make a long story short, right? So I'm like, Heidi and I are like, oh, no. So they give you like a little robe, but it doesn't matter because if you want to get in the shower or the sauna or the steam room or the whatever, you so to make, okay, so we have our robe on and you have to shower before you get in. So we go to the shower, we take a little shower, like, in, you know, in the very back, put our robes on and go sit in the sauna and wait for the woman. So they come and they get us. And they're like, okay, you take off the underwear. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm just going to leave these on. No, take off. Right? And I'm looking around and I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. And I mean, women are just buck naked.
Did you have your top on?
Pubic hair for days.
Oh, no.
No, it's true. It's true. With no shame.
Some women
no shame.
Find the big gum.
But just like, how does it all just literally hang out? And I mean, strolling around. And I thought, this is amazing. Like, what if I ran into somebody that I know here or somebody that I know from work or, you know, and it's like, and then I started, as I was laying on the table praying for death, because I wanted to just leave, but we were already in it.
Wait a minute, was your top off or was
yes,
it?
Yes. But you're... You don't have it. Yes. So I had a problem with it. So she put a washcloth over my butt crack as she was removing layers of skin. Heidi is peering at me from the table across the room, furious, right? And we're both making a hit list of all the friends we want to kill that sent us there. So, but like, I was like, and I'm sitting there trying to understand this, right? And I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. Frame of mind is everything in life. And that's really what I'm trying to say. So I thought, you would never walk in to a restaurant, a business meeting, just butt-ass naked, right? Everybody would be dying. The world, like, they'd call the police. Yes. Everybody would be freaking out. And yet, oh, well, you're at the spa, so let's all sit in a bathtub together.
You can't compare going to a
restaurant.
Why, though?
It's the same thing. These naked strangers are in a bathtub together. They're taking a bath together. A bathtub. And yet, if they walked into a business meeting naked... Everybody would die.
Jillian,
why, though? Yeah. Why? It's context. But what's the point? I don't know you. I don't want to see your bits and bobs. I don't want you to see mine. But why is it okay in one environment and not the other?
Well, you're comparing apples to oranges. It's
no,
a spa.
How so?
It's a spa.
What
you
makes
go
that
to get
different,
your...
though?
Because you're not sitting discussing what the stock prices are.
Why is that different, though? That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, it just, but I'm saying, like, in our lives, it's amazing how in one scenario, this would be completely unacceptable. But yet you move to a different location. It's like, hey, girl. Hi, my name's Sally. Hi, I'm Jill. Want to take a bath together? What?
That's not.
No, but it is.
So
I think we need to go to the audience.
It's like it's a place and time thing. It's like you don't go to a business meeting and crack a beer. You go to the bar after work and crack a beer. You don't go to the business meeting naked. You go to the spa after work and get naked.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
It's a place and time thing.
Say it again.
Okay. I'm using a bar as an example. You don't go to work and drink at work with all your coworkers.
Right.
You have the place and time, which is after work.
That's right, Jake. That's right.
We need to go to our audience and get some thoughts about this.
Oh, you think that a lot of people have been to your spa where the Korean women are wearing the
what
black
I'm
panties?
Saying is...
Please don't tell me they were wearing high heels. Please.
No, they weren't.
Okay.
But this is my point in life. Everything is about perspective or frame of mind. It's interesting how you would never, ever walk into anywhere public naked, and yet you can go into this environment and here it's socially acceptable. It's all frame of mind. None of this is real. We need to call somebody.
Right. So what,
let's get
what,
someone
what,
on the phone.
So, but what are we going to ask people? What are we going to say?
I want thoughts on this. Why is it okay here and not okay there?
Oh, my God. All right. I think you're going to get... I think the biggest question is, why were the Korean women in the black panties?
Well, let's call them. You want to call them? Oh, it's Heidi. Hold on. I got Heidi. Hold on. Wait, we'll call them back. I got Heidi. Honey?
Yeah?
Tell Janice about our spa experience.
Our spa experience?
Yep.
Were they really wearing black panties?
The masseuse?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just wear, like, little black boy short underwear kind of thing, and then a little black bra.
See? I told you. Yeah.
And then you are butt naked.
See? Tell Janice about when you got smacked on the butt, honey, and how she made you go back and shower.
When she's ready for you to turn over, she gives you a little swat on the butt and says, turn over. And you turn over, but after she's done with your scrub, she makes you shower. And my girl is right in line with the shower, so she could see me showering. And apparently I wasn't showering to her liking, and I wasn't supposed to use soap, which I didn't understand. And then I rinsed off once, and she came back, lifted up my arm, swiped my armpit, and said, go back and shower. So I went back to shower, and then she mimed what she wanted me to do in the shower. Mm-hmm. Like, scrub here, scrub your back, scrub your arm. Mm-hmm. She was miming. And then I came back, and she still wasn't satisfied. So she got buckets of water and started dumping buckets of water on me. And then I guess I was clean enough.
Yeah, see?
Heidi, that is not normal. That's dominatrix stuff. That is not.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
No, but to tell Heidi, no, that's not good enough. Go back. We're getting into some kinky. You guys went to some kind of porn place.
I don't think so. I don't know. But this is the thing.
No, it's normal. It's normal.
To who?
Heidi.
Where?
No, honestly, it's normal.
Yeah. See. Okay. Thanks, honey. Thanks, honey. All right. You see what I'm saying? Like. But people do this. This place is packed. It's been open forever. So now that you know they wear the underwear, do you need me to call them to prove it, or can we go to the audience?
We can go to the audience.
All right.
All right. So we have our first caller.
Yeah.
To comment on Jillian's public nudity. What is this?
Well, I just don't. Here's what's fascinating to me. Why is it that it never in the world would you, like, ever consider walking into a restaurant or a business meeting buck naked, and yet you go to a gym or a spa and it's like, hey, how are you? Like, what is that?
All right.
And is it me? Like, why is it totally okay in one environment but not okay in another? What makes it different? And I just want to know, am I just a prude, or does everybody else think this is fine, or what?
Okay, so Jessica.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, buddy?
Mine is kind of different just because I have kids. And my son is almost 7 and does, like, swimming and everything. And sometimes I take him. And he has to walk through the men's to get to, like, the indoor pool because he's, like, past that 6 age limit, which is fine. However, like, when you're sending a 6-year-old in to get changed, he goes in there and it's, like, nude men everywhere.
Oh,
and not just, like,
gosh.
Not, like, quickly changing. They are, like, walking around, hanging out, talking.
Yeah, shaving,
hanging
out.
Like,
Shaving?
Yeah. Yeah, like they're in
up
there,
or down like, shaving?
Like down.
Oh my God! Yeah. This is awful! Who
and, I mean,
does
sometimes
this?
They're like getting ready to go out or whatever that night. They don't even have a towel on them. And I only know this because my husband has gone in there before with them because he still has to like walk through that area. And he always jokes. He was like, you walk. And it's like a sausage fest when you go in there. Like,
a shaving sausage fest.
See, and when you're sick, I mean, you're at eye level. You're not You can't look straight ahead. Like, you look straight ahead and it's there.
But see, this would just be upsetting to me at any age. What is going on with people?
Yeah, but guys are like that. Guys
are they like that, Jake?
Shaving their junk in the locker room?
Yes.
I think that's something you should do at home.
A little, like, prep area. I think it's probably, I don't know, like, going out that night or whatever maybe thing. But still, like, it's, I mean, and I've only heard of that happening, like, once or twice in the year and a half that we've been.
So your thoughts are have a little modesty and like, you know, be quick about it, get in, get out, and like you're kind of in the middle on the whole thing. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for your feedback.
Welcome.
We appreciate it.
We've
got to find somebody who's pro because I don't think we're going to. Let's see if we can.
All right.
Okay, now, we got an email from Deidre, and we got her on the phone. So, all right, Deidre, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me? Because I'm on my little earpiece mic set.
We can hear you.
So.
Okay,
great.
So you say that nudity is okay if you keep it in designated areas, and you applaud the folks that bear it all.
Well, I mean, like, if you're at the gym in the ladies' room showering and changing, why not?
Really?
Yeah.
Now, okay. You're totally fine with, like, people just strolling around the gym, letting all the bits and bobs hang out or the spa or whatever. No concerns, nothing.
As long as it is a designated area for the nudity, why not? I say, yeah, sure, have at it. You know, you only live once. God gave you a beautiful body, whether you are, you know, very endowed or not. And, you know, hey.
Really?
Yeah,
but
why
designated area? So tell me, you're with a coworker, right? And you got a business lunch, you've got a meeting, you would never, ever show up not clothed, correct?
Obviously.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, that coworker works at the same gym, and you cross paths in the locker room. Now what?
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Seriously, I would. It's no big deal. I'm just like,
what?
No,
is it me? I find this fascinating. And what I find the most fascinating is that in one location, it's the most mortifying experience of your existence. And in another location, it's like, not, you know, the norm. That's what I find incredible is how the human brain can compartmentalize something and put it into a certain category where it's either completely traumatic and upsetting or like, hey, you know, no big deal. Like, let your freedom flag fly. It's empowering.
I think it's no big deal. I love it. Why not? Again, it's a designated area. Yes, if I'm with a coworker, okay, yeah. Okay. If she didn't want to run into me there, then I guess that's her deal. I would be comfortable. You know, it wouldn't faze me, you know.
It might hurt, but
not me.
Huh. I go to the gym with my little gym bag. I go into the restroom if I have to change my clothes. And then I go up into that, keep my head down the whole time. I'm in, I'm out.
I would have never thought about that with you, Jillian, because you're just such a brave spirit.
Isn't it unbelievable? She's quite, I can't.
Some things are private. Mother of God. What is wrong with you perverts?
Well, it's not a pervert thing. God gave you a beautiful body. You know, you are on Biggest Loser. You get to see a lot of people of all different shapes and sizes. You know, and there are a lot of people that are very happy with their body shape and whatever. You know, so,
Thank you, Deidre. I appreciate
God bless you, Deidre.
I appreciate your feedback. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me on the show. Y'all guys have a wonderful day.
Yes, buddy.
You
all
too,
right,
Deidre.
Well, what the hell? I guess here's all I'm trying to say is this. It's fascinating to me how the same experience takes place in two separate locations and has a completely different impact on our psyche. So the next time something embarrassing happens or the next time something upsetting or mortifying or whatever doesn't go your way or you start to perceive something that could be a negative or a positive, stop and think about how you could shift your perspective. So if you don't get the job and you go, oh my God, I'm so unlucky. Maybe you could stop and think, you know something, I am lucky because this isn't the right job for me and the right job is right around the corner. Or if something unfortunate happens and the guy doesn't call you back, maybe you're lucky because the person you're really supposed to be dating, you haven't met yet and you'll be set up in a month. Or I don't know, you fail at something, but you really inspired a bunch of people when you failed because you got back up and you did it again and it ended up being the triumph of a lifetime. And I realize it's a stretch, but all I'm saying is if we have the ability to compartmentalize things and completely shift our perception of the same reality based upon geographic location, then you can change your mind about a failure or a setback or something embarrassing pretty simply. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, and to think that that...
That was brought around really nicely.
Thank you.
I like that.
But that is what I was thinking on my Burberry table with my...
With the Korean ladies
Korean
in the...
scrubber.
Bra panties. I just... the only thing I can say is thank God they weren't in high heels, because that would have did me in.
I think they would have slipped. If they were, because it's very wet.
The way Heidi explained it, it seems like they're just dumping water all over the place.
Yeah, no, everything's, it's just wet. Everything's
wet. Poor Heidi.
Oh, no. She wanted to die.
First of all, she walked out of the Zambezi, wherever the hell that was guys were, and she got almost drowned in the Zambini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now she almost gets drowned by a scantily, what'd you call it? Scantily clad.
Glad. Korean.
Korean woman.
Angry Korean lady. Yeah.
God bless Heidi.
She didn't speak the whole rest of the night.
I'm sure she did.
She just stared up at me from her plate of chicken and waffles and beer that she had to soothe her suffering. And she just looked at me and she did say one thing, because our friend Andy sent us and she goes, I'm going to kill Andy. And that's all she said. That's all she said. I was like, you're going to kill Andy?
It's like the great sage that doesn't speak for weeks at a time. And then the one thing, finally, when the sage speaks,
I'll kill Andy. Yeah, that's what she said.
Thank you, sage.
Yep. All right.
All right. We will be back.
It's Audible time, Janice. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to recommend a book that I haven't read yet, but I'm going to. Ready? Mm-hmm. It's called Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. She's the Facebook COO, and she is ranked 8th on Fortune's list of the 50 most powerful women in business. Yeah, I think you could glean something from that. And you know where you can get it. It's all on audible.com. That's right. And for our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook and a 30-day trial by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. Let's spell it out. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. Check it out. Okay. I thought we'd talk about a few simple things that you can employ to help yourself embrace change.
Okay.
Welcome change.
Welcome change.
People have a really hard time with change. You in particular, Janice.
Yes, I do.
You get your panties in a bunch.
Don't
man.
Like the change. I don't like it at all.
Why?
Because it just, I like familiar.
God.
Although I must admit the tour shook my life up a bit, which was fantastic. I must admit it did. It did. It was fantastic. And then when I got home, I got into a little bit of a depression. I got a little postpartum depression after
you
the tour.
You missed the Luberg.
I did. But I must admit that I do like to have that. I know this is here, that's there. I'm going to wake up then. There's something that I like about that.
Hmm. Interesting. See, I'm not a big routine person. I like change. And when things don't change, then I feel stagnant.
Mm.
I get like I'm not growing or I'm not moving or time's a wasting.
Right, okay.
I get, like, the exact... But I do appreciate that it's really hard for people when things happen and life changes, they just don't know how to respond to it.
Very true.
And they fight it like crazy. But the reality is, you know, the first thing you need to appreciate right from go is change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. The world is based upon change and the theory of entropy. Have you ever heard about this?
No.
Okay, for example, you take ink, right? And you drop a couple droplets into a glass of water. And what happens?
It
just, like completely like unravels into chaos, into the water. Like, that's life. There's a constant entropy of chaos and crazy and change and even the theory of evolution. Like, everything is evolving and growing and it's a dynamic universe. So change is an inevitable principle of our universe, of our world.
Okay.
And I think once you embrace that, you stop fighting change because you know it's coming. So then it's like, all right, the world is going to change. Things are going to happen. Nothing's going to stay the same. How can I best prepare for that? Or how can I find the confidence or the stability in myself to be okay when X, Y, or Z occurs, or if I lose this job, or if I have to move from this location? Come to the conclusion that you will not be able to maintain the status quo. It is impossible. And I think once you do, there's a certain peace there. And then once you know that it's inevitable, right, I think it stops the flailing. It's like when you're in quicksand, don't flail or you're going to drown, right? Or you're going to sink faster. So if you know it's coming, you can flow a little better instead of panic and flail, which will always sink you. Then try to view the change as an initiation to a certain extent. Like in all sorts of traditional cultures and societies, as we would go through various changes in our lives, it was considered like a celebratory stage into manhood, into parenthood, into, you know, whatever it might be. We don't do that, though. We always look at change as something bad, something that has to be endured or tamed. But if you can celebrate a change almost as an initiation of like, I lost this job, but I'm going back to school. You've entered a new phase of your life. Or, my marriage didn't work out, but I'm single and I'm eat, pray, love, right? Mm-hmm. I'm focused on me. I'm working on me. Like it's a new change in your life. There was that time in your life where you were in this relationship and you learned what you had to learn and you got what you needed to get and it served its purpose and you may have loved and lost and that's wonderful and it's enriched your life. Or maybe it wasn't a good relationship and you've taken what you need to take to be wiser and stronger and smarter. And we celebrate these different phases. But can you see these changes as a pattern of growth or a function of your evolution as a human being instead of a punishment, an opportunity? Mm-hmm. So basically, whenever you have uncertainty or fear or discomfort, instead of shying away or running in the other direction, lean into it. Move into it rather than away from it. And the idea is that, again, there's a lesson for you there, and you move through it. You're not going to be able – you don't get around things in life, right? You can't go – people always say, I don't understand why I can't just get over it. You don't get over things.
No.
You work through them.
Yeah.
So since we've already discussed that this is inevitable, instead of trying to put it off and put it off and put it off and therefore remaining in a constant space of fear,
right,
lean into it. Move through it. Embrace it. See what's there for you. What are the lessons? What are you meant to learn and how are you meant to grow? And this one goes along with the next thought, which is about if you're feeling like you don't know which path to choose and things are uncertain, can you slowly begin to identify goals based on passion levels? So if you are being fired, right, and you're losing your job, your company's laying people off, and you're going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I've had this job for X amount of years. Well, all right. Is it what you've always wanted to do? Did you love it? Were there things about it that made you unhappy? Were there something that you wanted to change? If you got a job at the factory, but you really always wanted to be a nurse, maybe that goal is, okay, I really want to be a nurse. Here's my goal. My goal is to become a nurse. And then subsequently, every choice you make will move you more towards the ultimate goal of being a nurse. So it gives you some guidance. For example, I'll always say to people, we make decisions that we don't even realize we're making that dramatically affect our lives. So stop and think through, how is this choice going to get me closer to my ultimate goal? So if you've just been laid off and you don't know what to do and you're panicking and this and that is going on, if you can sort of identify a goal, it gives you a direction to move in. And then you can say, all right, is this choice I'm going to make getting me closer to the goal at hand? So if you're feeling like a ship that's lost at sea, if you pick a destination, it helps you guide your way out of stormy waters. Make sense?
Yeah, I got to interrupt you on this
part.
Do it. You've worked your ass off in a certain career or a job.
Got it.
And you go, you know what, I want to do something else, or you're forced to do something else.
Okay, I got it.
Then you go into this job market, there's this new job where you got some punk ass telling you, okay, lady, you got to do this and this and this. And you go, and it's a form of entitlement, but it's like, wait a minute, I've worked my ass off all my life. Don't tell me. Don't be telling me that I got to do that. I don't want to sound like a crotchety old hag, but it's... I'm going to be a crotchety old hag.
Okay.
Is that when you've worked really hard your whole life, and then you shift into a career where you have to be the beginner again?
Yeah.
It's very hard.
It was easy. The whole point of this is that it is hard, but you do
have
to do
that. You said these are to welcome change. That doesn't welcome change when some
punk
ass is going to tell
me. But it might be hard. I get it, but it's okay. But this is where your emotional attachment to the goal makes the hard part worth it. The hours and the hours and the hours that the contestants spend in the gym is very hard. But their health, their longevity, their family, their sex life, their confidence is worth the work. That's what I'm saying. You've got to form that emotional attachment to it because it helps guide you through those tougher things. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. But that's why you've got to let that passion go a little bit and form that emotional attachment to a goal. Set a goal. Identify a goal. So it's... You have a direction. You have something that's worth working for that makes those hard moments tolerable. That's the point.
Well, I just think you demand a little respect.
But if you respect yourself, then people will respect you.
Oh, shit, I knew you were going to say something like that.
It's true.
No, I know. It's just I've noticed more and more in the last 4 months, more and more people that are making these changes are struggling with that. There's a bit of disrespect. That's all.
And even when, but I don't define my goals or my journey based upon what someone thinks of me. Or
ever?
No. Now
Julia.
I don't like being disrespected. And I'll immediately make that clear to somebody, and I won't allow somebody to disrespect me. But it doesn't affect what I pursue at all. People always think, the trainer wants a talk show? Oh, okay. It hasn't stopped me. I'm like, I'll get there. It's going to take patience and fortitude, and I'm going to have to, all these other people might go before me, but I'll eventually get there. I might be 50 by the time I get there, but I'll get there. And I don't care that everybody thinks, oh, she'd be terrible, or she's not this, or she's not funny, or she's so mean, or this. You know how many people have opinions of that? I could care less. I don't let people treat me badly, but I also understand that we're complex. We are complex human beings. And if somebody does have a response to me, I know that 9 times out of 10, it has nothing to do with me. Like, remember Noreen Fendonca, who was like,
Noreen,
I hate your guts and I hope a dog eats you alive, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like people who hate on my Facebook that have never met me. That's about something that's coming from their lives. And with that, I just let it go. I'm not going to write back and be like, you're not allowed to say this to me. And I'm like, okay, this is historical for her. She's got her own, things going on and whatever. Go with God, because it doesn't impact me. But I also don't let other people's opinions of, you're not going to get a talk show, nobody would watch it, you're so mean, or whatever. Like, I'm like, okay, who cares? I don't care. Nothing. Once
I care.
But that's your problem. That's why you're so broken. You're just a shell of a human. I mean, and I think the only thing that has value in your life is the time you spend here with me.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you must just every day feel like, how did I make this very famous, affluent, attractive, successful, and intelligent friend? And you must feel blessed.
Well,
that gives you candy.
I don't think that, but it would make you feel better.
I'm serious. I mean, you know, you're just shattered.
I know.
Can't date. You just cannot move forward.
No, do not change this segment into Dennis dating. No.
No, I'm just saying. We're not going there. You cannot move forward. You're a classic.
Yes, you're right.
See? All right. Now then.
Now then.
Maybe if you attached to an outcome, you would be able to motivate yourself through it. And last but not least, an action plan. At the end of the day, it's like, where do I begin? Well, count calories, go to the gym, do X, Y, and Z. But if you cannot, at some point, take a step, take action, literally, sometimes it's like, how do I do it? Well, all right, where are your keys? On the counter. Go get them. Are they in your hand? Yes. Okie dokie. Where are your tennis shoes? Upstairs. Go get them. Do you have them? Yes, I do. Put butt in car. Is it in car? Yes, it is. Drive to gym. Okay. I mean, like, at some point, you've got to take action. You've got to literally say, all right, I've educated myself. I've learned everything there is to learn. And then take action. Don't take action without information. We know how bad that is. But once you've surveyed everything and you've taken in all there is to know, or as much as you can possibly know, or you feel confident enough that you have enough to take that first step, you got to take it. You've got to take it, because change requires you to take action in order to navigate things in the direction you want. If you're constantly reacting instead of being proactive, you're always being reactive, then again, we go back to life happening to you instead of you happening to it. If you can take that change, flow with it, but still guide the water a little bit, if that makes any sense. It's like you're in the river. Obviously, you're not going to make it up back upstream, so you want to flow with it. But you can guide yourself even while you're flowing, you know, to a certain location that you want to go. But it requires you to take some action and be proactive while you're in the change. You know? You
yes,
follow me?
I do.
All right.
Get in the river and float. That's...
When are we going to do that whole Janice dating thing?
I don't...
That's an action step.
Oh, you know what?
Let's do it.
We're done.
No.
We're done. All right, we're back. And Bridie would like to talk to you.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jill?
I'm good, buddy. What's up?
Well, I am a full-time nursing student. I'm married and I have 3 kids. And I do a lot of your videos to try to keep me on track, my body in shape and everything. And I just kind of want to know, you know, I sit and watch you on the videos. And I'm just like, how does she do it? How does she stay in such great shape? I know she has kids. I know she has a family. She has a, you know, busy job. How do you do what you do and keep your body in shape? Like, what's your routine? What, you
okay.
know, how, you know
okay.
what I mean?
I do. I totally do. All right. First of all, the food is on point. So I'm not cruising through McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ordering pizza for dinner. I don't eat perfect, but I eat pretty good. You know, like I did have burgers last night, but we went to the farmer's market and I got grass-fed beef. And I had organic cheese on it with heirloom tomatoes and lettuce. And then I had a kale salad on the side. So, you know what I mean? Like, my food is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is well over 50% of the battle. Because if you don't eat too much and you don't eat garbage, you're not going to gain weight.
Right.
Then it becomes a matter of maintenance, which is a totally different ball game than weight loss.
Right.
So, when it comes to my workouts, I try to get... Let's say when I'm lucky 5 workouts in a week. And for example, today I have the podcast, right? So I had the podcast, I had to be there at 11. And I said, all right, honey, is it okay if I schedule a boxing lesson at 9 o'clock? And, you know, Heidi and I will usually trade off. So we woke up, we got the kids fed, we got them all dressed, and my boxing coach came over, and I literally had a boxing lesson at my house. And my son was running around picking up the medicine ball that the guy brought with him. And Lou was playing with her horses on the floor, and Heidi was just kind of like on her computer taking care of a few things, sort of half watching the kids and half not, because they play together, they do their own thing. So it's, you know, it's easy for me to do things at home. So I always tell moms, get a workout DVD, and, you know, your kids will play right next to you, do your workout DVD while they're there at home. Another thing that I'll do a lot is work out with my kids. So this weekend we needed to walk the dogs because we were at the city and not the beach. And we took the dogs to a little canyon in LA called Runyon Canyon. And we put Lou in a little car thing. And Heidi had one dog and Lou in this little car stroller. And I had Phoenix in this little back thing. And I had Richard. And we hiked up the canyon and back down. So, you know, we'll go for bike rides with the kids in the little baby seats in the front. We take turns watching them. So let's say, I'll say to her, hey, you know what? I'm in all morning, so I don't have to go in today until 10:30. So why don't you get up and you go to Pilates and I'll stay here and watch the kids. So we kind of take turns and trade off. Another thing is, you know, my mom will come over and watch the kids. So like she came over last Sunday and I think she came over at like 4 o'clock. We went to a 4:30 yoga class, got a manicure, pedicure, came home, had dinner with the kids, and watched our favorite shows. So it's really a combination of like trading off with your spouses, working out with the kids, working out at home while your kids are at home, having a sitter or, you know, a parent or a family member watch the kids so you can get in a workout. And by doing it that way, I usually get in like 4 workouts a week. And I honestly think like last week, I went to work and I ran with my contestants. I got one in there. I got a boxing lesson. I had yoga. We had a sitter. It was my mom. You know, boxing was at the house, and that's how I do it.
But you're not like, you know, doing kickboxing 5 days a week, and you're not doing,
no,
you know,
buddy. I can't.
Shredding like.
I wish. No, I don't have the time for that. Okay. But you don't need to work out like that when you eat right.
Right.
If you're consistent and you're eating right, you don't need to be doing that. When you go hard.
Right.
And you get like 4 half hour to 45 minute sessions in a week. And I get a lot of variety in there too, so I don't get bored.
Right. Yeah. Is there a certain time of day that you think works better for you than others?
Like, yes, for me, but I can't always manage that. The truth of the matter is, current research will show you that consistency is best for performance because your body gets used to exercising at a certain time of day, so it releases, you know, all of the endorphins, etc. Going, oh, it's 11 o'clock, it's time to work out, so let me release my endorphins. Mm-hmm. For me personally, it's like 10 o'clock because it's like I've been up for 2 hours, I've digested my food, I'm caffeinated, my body's used to it, but my schedule doesn't always permit that. So if I've got to take a 4:30 yoga class on a Sunday, I do. You know, if I have a 9 a.m. boxing lesson where, you know, it's like it's a little earlier than I like, if that's when I can get it in, I get it in. Get it in when your schedule permits you to get it in. And even if you're like, ugh, it's just not a good, you know, I went for a run the other day at like 5 o'clock and it was terrible. I just squeaked my way through 3 miles and was miserable the entire time. But I did it. You know what I mean? I was like, well, I did it. It was better than nothing. And that's the key. It's like whenever you got the time, you do it and you give what you've got that day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But perfection is a pointless endeavor. Yeah. It doesn't exist.
Well, and yeah, and I'm not a morning person, so getting up and working out at 5 a.m. or something like that, if I try to do that, it'll just never happen and I'll quit, and then I'm totally off the bandwagon. And then, like, when you get sick, it's so hard to get back into that routine again of doing that, and I just... You know, I think when you get like a cold or something and you're like, I absolutely can't work out. Do you work out at all ever when you're sick, or do you give your body that time to rest?
No way. Rest when you're sick. Just don't eat a bunch of crap. Rest when you're sick. When I'm not working out, I eat better. I've noticed that. Like, I don't know if it's being a mom or exercising, but, like, I don't ever drink. I'm not a big drinker. So, like, it's, people always say, like, what's your guilty pleasure? And it's always alcohol because I eat chocolate every single day. I just work it into my calorie allowance. But alcohol is a pretty guilty pleasure for me. And when I'm working out, I'm like, you know what? I will have a glass of wine. Or I will have a beer with my burger. Okay. But when I'm not, I don't ever drink. I'm way better with my diet. And that's how I balance it out.
So you just get into that routine of doing that, and that's kind of how you've stuck with the way your body is now. Because I know you always talk about, like, when you were a kid, you were overweight and struggled.
But once you get your body in a maintenance mode, it's a lot easier.
Okay.
People always think maintenance is so hard. Maintenance is easy.
Okay.
Maintenance is balance. You know, my contestants are losing, you know, 100 pounds in 2 months, right?
Right.
Well, that's a hell of a lot of work. And everyone's like, well, what are they going to do when they go home? I'm like, well, instead of 4 hours a day, they're going to do 4 hours a week. Because they're not losing 100 pounds in 2 months. It's maintenance mode.
Exactly.
It's much easier. Once you get into that maintenance mode, it's a lot easier, buddy. That's the thing. And then it is, like, balance with the diet 4 hours a week.
And do you feel, I mean, do you ever feel guilty? Because I think I throw that on myself a lot is, you know, well, I should be spending this time studying instead of working out. Or I should be spending this time with my kids instead of working out.
I did
whatever,
get the you know? I should be spending this time with my kids in the beginning. And then I got over that. Then I decided I was a good enough mom.
Because I feel so much better about myself.
Yep.
And I feel happy. I feel like a better person. I feel happier. I feel like I'm nicer to my kids when I work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and
you're
to
happier.
Not do that, it just feels like, in a way, I'm putting worse things on my family instead of, you know,
you
I
are.
Should have worked out because I, you know, I would have been a nicer mom today.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly right. Now, if I have a whole day where I don't see my kids, then, yeah, that's a day that I go without the gym. Like, if I was up before the kids were up and I was at work and I get home at 5 and they go to bed at 7, yeah, that day I'm not working out. Or if I do it after they go to bed, which next to never happens. But,
I mean... Is it bad to work out before you go to bed? I've heard that a lot, but
no.
I hear people do it.
I just want to eat and go to sleep.
Okay.
You know what I mean? No.
And who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it's not. It's just, that's all. But I, on the weekends, I'm like, I saw my kids 3/4 of the day today. I saw her 3/4 of the day on Saturday, 3/4 of the day on Sunday. I'm allowed to take an hour to myself on these days. You know, and on the week, and then there's 2 on Saturday and Sunday, and then I just need 2 more during the week.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Give yourself permission. Trust me, you'll feel way better, and you're absolutely right. You'll be a better mom. You'll be a happier mom. You'll be a healthier mom. You'll set a better example for your kids.
Yep. All right.
All right, honey. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well.
All right.
All right.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Yeah. Secret to my success.
Jeez. If that... Man.
Mm.
Well, thanks for lunch today. That was very tasty.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Oh, jeez.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it. on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.